Welcome to Questcast, everybody. Your weekly adventure into everything games. We've got a few things on this week. Lots of E3 news, or E3 rumors, I guess. I guess we'll start off with a lovely game that I saw, Atomic Heart. Caitlin, what did you think of the trailer for it? Well, was it a gameplay trailer? I'd say it's a gameplay trailer.
It definitely wasn't a theatrical trailer.
It was a fucked up one if it was.
It was weird.
How would you describe it? Like it had... What was the music type in it? Old,
old style, Fallout style.
I think that was Fallout, because that was more jazzy, wasn't it?
It was in the vein of Fallout style.
Yeah, this was like... Era.
Like
it's kind of ballroom 50s, music.
50s?
I'd say it was kind of ballroom-like music. So there's lots of robots attacking and what would you say, I guess, rummaging over what was left of a world once inhabited by people. It's very vibrant. The robots all look like they're a bit quirky and have lost their mind. I think it looks fun. I think it's meant to be like a Soviet kind of era alternative reality sort of thing.
I mean, the trailer doesn't really... lend itself to any sort of story whatsoever.
No, it doesn't, but I think I read something on their website about it.
I mean I've literally seen the trailer and that's it, so without looking into it further.
The combat looks really good, at least like in the trailer they had varied enemies of all the robots and such. So that was really nice. I think it'll be not Dark Souls, but kind of Dark Souls, like different. Like each boss is going to take a specific way to kill it and combat it, I assume. I think there was weapon crafting in from what I could see in it as well. Is there anything you picked up that I've missed?
Not really. It was all just random shots.
It was very random.
Of things.
Lots
happening.
Of different quirky like, robots and one soldier that was walking near some robots.
Yeah, so. I don't know. It's hard to say just yet.
It is coming out for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. I don't know if there's a release date for it. I couldn't find one. It should be this year. I think it's going to be at E3 as well. It's made by a company called Mundfish. Can we just talk about that name for a while? Mundfish.
Never heard of them.
Their logo is like a hook, like a fishing
fish.
Hook.
Uh-huh.
What is a mundfish?
It is probably actually a thing.
Like a type of fish native to wherever they are. I think they're from Russia.
Because it does vaguely seem familiar, but I might be
just thinking
mistaking
of,
it.
Of the gunned fish or the blund fish. Lots of fishes. But... unless we can find anything on it. I think it's just a name, maybe. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Well, it's hard when the only thing that comes up is the actual developer.
Oh, then it's probably not a thing. I don't think it's a big developer, so if it was an actual fish, that would probably come up more than the developer.
There is a thing called a mud fish, but...
yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the mind mud fish combo? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. Anyway, yeah. On to more rumors. And you're here with Questcast, by the way. We do Questcast every week. If you're liking what you hear, please go check out our YouTube channel. Just search Questcast on YouTube. We do lots of Let's Plays. We're doing more and more reviews. It's only going to be more content every week. And hopefully you can enjoy it. So back to the news. Fable 4 rumors. So... for anyone like us who is a fan of RPG, sometimes I'm a fan of open world games, not empty open world games, which most of them feel like these days. Like I do not like I like the first Assassin's Creed open world games, but then they just started filling them up with activities that had nothing to do with the story. And you're just like, you'd go to like 7 locations for the main story and the rest would just be like terrible collectibles or stuff.
Yeah, collect quests.
So we watched the, I guess you'd call it, gameplay rumored trailer for Fable 4.
Very unconfirmed.
Super unconfirmed. It was leaked. It looks, I don't know if it's going to be a Unreal 4 demo at E3 or a Xbox or Microsoft demo, because Microsoft owns the Fable 4 franchise, IP, whatever you want to call it. They took apart Lionhead. Was it Lionhead?
Yep.
A long time ago.
2016.
There you go. Ah, that was, they had some good games. Did you ever play the Black and White series?
Like 10 minutes of it about 10 years after the fact that it came out. Not in its prime, definitely. I only found out about it because of someone Fable? Else.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say because, like, you looked up the developer or something.
No, the partner I was with at the time was in love with it as a kid and was talking about it, and I'd never heard of it.
It's a great game. Well, it was when it came out. It was just so fun to be an oversized gorilla and smush people.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was so stupid. It was very Fable godlike game, if I could ever explain that. What do you expect from a Fable 4 game? Don't think too hard.
More of the same, I guess.
Ah, oh, but I didn't like Fable 3.
Why not?
Okay, it's not that I didn't like Fable 3. I don't think Fable 3 was as good as 1 or 2.
I mean, it's been years since I've played any of them.
Fable 1's still my favorite.
It was pretty good.
I
mean, I liked all of them, but...
See, the story and content from 2 and 3 was better than 1, but 1's combat mechanics and leveling up system I felt was so much... just more fun to play in that kind of action RPG type of game.
Number 3.
Number 1.
Oh.
Number 3, like number 3's spell system, was that the one where you combine spells and it was pretty average?
I really don't remember.
Fair enough.
I don't remember having any issues with like the combat or the leveling up or anything
so
like that.
So much more judgy about the stuff than you as well.
Yeah.
You'll just play anything and be like, oh, it's fun.
I think I was just happy to, at the time, to have an updated Fable game.
Did you play Fable 1 Remastered?
Yeah.
I never played that. I was happy playing the first one.
I'm pretty sure. Actually, I can't remember if I played the original or the remastered one.
I think I've got the remastered one on Steam. I bought it. I was like, oh, I'll play this one day. And you know what happened.
Because I'm pretty... Because I came late to the Fable game.
Oh, you came late to every game. What did you do as a child?
I mostly played Spyro.
That makes me sad.
I came late to the Fable game. So it's possible that I went straight to the remastered version, but I don't remember if I did or
didn't. Remastered one came out after 3, I think. Like a 10-year anniversary remaster?
Probably not.
I think so. I don't know.
If that's the case, because I finished number 1 like by the time 3 was coming out. So like I'd gotten through 1 and 2, and 2 then 3 came out.
Was really good. I really liked the towns in 2. They were really fun. Number 3, the towns felt not as alive to me as number 1 and 2 did. I think that's because they were bigger. Like, they were bigger and the NPCs didn't feel like they belonged anywhere. They were just walking for the sake of walking.
Yeah, they were just around randomly doing things.
Whereas, like, number 1 and 2, they were small and you could see everyone walking to their house, individual houses and stuff, and you could go by the houses. And it just felt like that's where they worked or, like, the haircut person or the weapon person or whatever. It felt like you... And you couldn't talk to them and stuff, but it felt like you were there rather than you were in a game sometimes, as good as it could back then. I mean, if we played it now, I'd be like, this is shit.
Yeah, probably.
But I still think it was better than 3. The Fable 4 is rumored to be being made by Forza Horizon developer Playground Games. They've apparently been working on a new title. Their second studio team... hired talent from Ninja Theory, Rockstar North, and DICE to work on a new open world project. So it's likely to be Fable, but we won't know until E3.
Well, yeah.
What else could they bring out?
I don't know, something new.
They're doing the open world RPG Forza. Your car levels up.
Fucking hell. No.
Well, that's basically what car games are now, right? RPGs, like you...
Yeah, they've sort of turned them into that.
Oh, everything's kind of basically thing. An RPG now. But I don't even know what an RPG is anymore. Because everything's a... Because RPGs now are fantasy RPGs, and everything else is just like, you know, sci-fi RPG or, you know, a car RPG or whatever. So I think RPG has been taken over by everything else.
But what would you have classified RPG as before any of this?
When you played a role in a game. Like, so you're playing as someone you either make or playing the role of someone else.
Right.
Whereas, like, car...
So a sci-fi could easily have been that.
Very much, I guess. But, like, car games and all these other games I don't feel like are.
No.
But they always say, you know, RPG elements and stuff.
I'm like, elements.
But, like, the leveling up isn't actually the RPG part of the RPG. Traditionally.
Arguable. The whole point of the RPG genre is that you can, you know, craft your character the way that you want to play. So leveling up is part of that.
I guess. Moving on. Hopefully Fable 4 is good. If they make it horrible, I will be sad. I guess I would love to see, like, trade cars going around towns and stuff. And
I mean, if they do it now, they could do a lot with it.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine, like, a nice Fable game and, like, where they don't ruin it with microtransactions?
Oh, that is the...
It is rumored for Xbox, but with what Microsoft's been doing lately with making the Xbox games on PC... I mean, you'll have to run it through Windows Store or whatever, Xbox Live, but being able to play it on PC would be nice. Speaking of more E3, Bethesda have a possible reveal. I haven't showed you this photo, but they posted this on Twitter 5/14, which is today for us. I think they released some more stuff. Everyone thinks it's Rage. That will go on to a leak that Walmart did not too long ago, so we'll talk about that more later about their leak, but Rage 2. Did you ever play Rage?
No.
See, I looked at it. It looked cool, but I think this is when I didn't have a job a long time ago or something. I was like, $60 or whatever the hell the price of the game was. And I'm like, I'll keep playing Dota or whatever I was playing.
Fair enough.
There was lots of games I'd never played that like I really wanted to get into because $60 price tags and I didn't used to have money.
$60 price tag's pretty good these days.
I mean, $60 plus the season pass, plus the DLC, plus, you know, you got to get the fancy outfit, so there's another $4.99.
It's all about the outfit.
If the game's free, I'm happy for it to be all about the outfit. If I'm paying $60, I just want to play a game.
So? 5/14, what that's meant to be today, an announcement?
The date today. So they might release something today and we'll talk about it next week. They're probably just going to announce that they're going to reveal it at E3, if anything. And then you'll be like, yay. You announced that we get to wait. Like, cool. It's like when they've got the pre-trailer for the trailer and stuff like that. I hate when companies do that. I'm like, how up yourselves are you that you're making a trailer for your trailer?
Yeah.
And people love it. And I think that makes me more angry. I'm not sure what I'm more angry at anymore. But we'll find
you're
out.
You're angry at a lot of things.
Oh, just, I don't understand the world. I'm old. I don't know. Oh, I didn't show you this. Overkill's The Walking Dead. First time I heard about it, but they've got a new trailer. It's the Grant trailer. If this lets me do it, we can watch it and we'll talk over it like a fun time thing.
Okay.
But I liked the what was it, Telltale's Walking Dead. Like, I thought the first one was pretty good.
Haven't played through all of them, but there was 5 episodes. They were interesting.
I like the concept of Walking Dead. I never got into the show, but I thought it was a good game concept.
It lost me after it got a bit crazy.
I mean, I don't even know what it's about anymore. It seemed like it went in like 7 different directions.
Too many people were like leaving and dying, and new people were coming, and then it got a bit like, oh, who's hooking up with who?
Yeah, all I know about it is that there's lots of memes about Carl.
Yes.
That's what I know, like, after season 2.
Yeah.
All I know is there's memes about Walking Dead, and I'll probably never understand what the actual thing was.
Yeah.
But this trailer looks really good. It looks like what I'd probably want from a Walking Dead game. So this guy is sitting in a car with a zombie, and he's looking for photos of his granddaughter.
In a car with a zombie.
Yeah, you'll see it in a sec.
Spoilers.
I'm so sorry. It doesn't give any story. The zombie's like seatbelted in and obviously died and crashed. And the whole Walking Dead universe is, even if you haven't been bitten by a zombie, if you die,
I
don't know if that's in this game. I'm assuming by the fact that this guy turned into a zombie after being in the car crash, it is.
You don't think it's just his pet? Because they did have that in The Walking Dead as well.
Did they?
Yep.
Explain.
So, you see how his jaw's chopped off at the bottom?
Yes.
They did that and used them as kind of like guard dogs.
To other humans?
A little bit of both. To other humans and the zombies.
Oh. How'd they do it to other zombies? Genuinely curious.
Well, I can't really remember, but I remember there was like this one chick that got introduced that came into the series, and she had 2 on chains and their jaws had been chopped off so that she couldn't get bitten.
Can't they like scratch you and it'd be bad as well? Or is I'm thinking about Resident Evil, aren't
I? I think you're thinking of Resident Evil. And yeah, she's just kind of, I think it was kind of mostly to do with humans. Like just a deterrent sort of thing.
But if they can't bite her, how can they bite the other humans?
Well, they aren't, but nobody wants to be near them.
Don't want to hang out like this guy is? And he gets the teddy bear and he shoots it? And he just sits.
It's possible there. Also that they help kind of mask or hide the fact that they're a human.
Oh, like they're living there?
Yeah, like...
Maybe.
Yeah. Like walking with them and stuff. Might make it less obvious.
I guess we don't know, but we can only speculate. The game looks like it's probably going to be good. I think it's going to be more of a AAA title Walking Dead game, which I think...
Fall 2018, what's that? That's in like October.
Yes, late in the year.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think it'll be good. It'll be a much more action-y based one than the Telltale ones.
Oh, yeah. But that's how I could play them. Because they weren't as directly involved with the zombies.
You do hate playing zombie games.
But I might give it a go. Depends what kind of angle they take with this. If it's like a story kind of thing or if they're trying to make it a horror.
I think it's going to be a massive story thing. It's Walking Dead, like, it's got a massive IP behind it. I doubt they would do...
Oh, I know, but you can still do a horror thing. Like, it just depends on if they're trying to go for the scares or not.
I think it'd be a bit of both. In other industry news, Guild Wars 1 got a, like, graphical update after, like, 10 years or...
Yeah, you have not let this go.
Well... Just want to bring it up. It's interesting.
I know, but you're just like telling everybody.
I told one person.
Everybody.
And deal with it. I really enjoyed Guild Wars 1 and 2. I thought 1 was much better than 2. That's not true. I thought the combat was better than in number 2, but the way you got abilities in number 1 was really cool. So you had to go find the creature that you wanted the ability of, and you had to have a you can only have 8 abilities equipped at a time, and you had to have like a capture sigil equipped.
Mm.
And then you would cast that on the creature, kill it during that 10 seconds or whatever, and then you would get that ability.
Mm-hmm.
It was it was a really cool system.
That is an interesting system. Yeah. Is this graphics update going to make you go back and play it?
Absolutely not.
No.
Not because I wouldn't want to, but because time.
Right.
Because time is the killer of all things. But okay. I would have liked to have seen that in Guild Wars 2, because I think that was one of the best features of number one. Like, it's what made it feel fresh as a MMO, whereas Guild Wars 2 kind of felt like every other MMO. More people played Guild Wars 2 as well, so yeah. I guess that's just what people want. People don't want interesting things.
I'm assuming that people found it too hard.
It's...
Or annoying, or something.
Hey, I think they would have found it annoying, because it wasn't hard to do it. You press the button, you know. What sucked, not sucked, but it's the same as like getting rare materials for weapons in other MMOs, but you had to like find rare spawns that had the really rare abilities so that you could capture it off them.
Yeah, that's a bit of an investment.
It was an investment, but like it wasn't like you didn't have other abilities. Like there was, I think there was like 300 abilities or something that you could get.
Jesus.
It was pretty ridiculous. And they put more in every expansion and stuff.
So once you've captured an ability...
You have it forever.
You have it forever?
Yep.
So you can unequip it and then...
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's not so bad then.
Yeah.
It gives you something to do.
It was like collecting... It was like making items and stuff. But because it wasn't items, because you could still craft as well, it just added another layer to your character of, I guess, how you could shape them and stuff. And like you could be hunting for that ability that you've wanted for a while, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really liked it.
It was, yeah, it sounds good.
I put lots of time into it. Couldn't jump in it though. That like.
Oh yeah. See.
I'm one of those people that when I'm walking in an MMO, I am jumping everywhere. Like if you were like sitting in your front porch and just saw some guy running down the road going hop, jumping, hop, you'd be like, what the hell is he doing?
Not being able to jump is a pretty big deal breaker these days.
Well, you didn't need to jump in the game. It's just
annoying.
It gives me something to do while I'm running. And there's jumping puzzles in number two. They were fun.
Yeah, I like those. Couldn't do them for shit, but.
Yeah, you were really bad at them, actually, because you're bad at them in Vermintide 2 as well.
I'm not great at jumping.
It's not a hard thing. You press one button while moving forward.
I know, but judging the space is...
Do you have bad depth perception?
I don't know. Maybe. I've never...
Never looked into it?
No, I have. I've had my eyes tested and...
They don't tell you? I don't
know. Depth-wise,
Is that a thing they test? I don't know.
Yeah, I did the 3D thing. Technically they do it on children.
You're basically a child.
But because I worked with the optometrist, he's like, oh, I'm going to do this on you. And it's like a book of 3D stuff. That you put on like 3D glasses for.
Oh, I think I did that when I was a child.
Yeah. Wow. I'd never had my eyes tested, like, prior to working in the optical industry.
He puts it on you and he's just like, how can you even see me?
Yeah. But
you're so blind.
Yeah, it's like a 3D thing of a butterfly, and they're like, you know, pinch the butterfly's wings, and the wings are like the 3D part of it. So if you like try and pinch them away from the card, then you've got like the depth perception. But if you like don't, and you just like go straight, or you can't even see the wings, like you don't have good depth perception, kind of thing. So no, the short answer to all of that, long story short, is no, I don't have problems with depth perception. I'm just bad at jumping in video games.
It just feels like it's because of a depth thing, but all right.
It might, like, I don't know. I genuinely don't know what it is. Maybe I just have to practice.
Yeah, it's not a practice thing because, like, it's not. You do it enough. Anyway, E3 leaks. apparently Canada's Walmart leaked titles including Rage 2, Splinter Cell, Borderlands 3, and more. They said that this was a glitch in their system, and the only people that could confirm these releases are the developers of the titles. And, you know, that's a pretty self-explanatory sentence. Like, of course that's who's going to confirm it, but you've basically said that they're at least... You wouldn't have the titles in your retail system if you hadn't at least been told about them.
I'm really confused. What was leaked? Like, what?
Titles of games. So Rage 2, Splinter Cell, Borderlands 3. Which means it would have been in their system, because, like, they're a retailer.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have had a stock item in their system unless it had been...
told that it was coming.
Yeah, like, they're not going to put a random game and they're like, oh, we think this is coming out this year. We're going to put it in our...
But how was it leaked?
There was a glitch in their system and it showed up on their online store or something for, like, a few minutes until someone realized they're like, oh, shit.
Right. Okay.
So they released their thing saying, oh, yeah, you know, it was a glitch, you know, we know nothing about this. It's all speculated.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it's speculated if I can't see any retailer guessing what games are coming out and putting it in their system.
Doesn't seem like something they would spend time on.
Yeah, like they'd have some guy who, you know, gets told.
I find it odd at all that it was like Walmart.
Why Walmart? They sell everything.
No, not because of that, but because if these games are completely unannounced, unconfirmed, like, I'm surprised that they would have been told about it by now. Like, at this point, I would have thought...
No, they... So publishers would have sent them seen how much they want to request to buy and things like that of physical copies, which they obviously do very big in advance because... You have to make all the copies, all that stuff.
Yeah, I figured all of that stuff would go after it's actually announced.
Nah, wait. Sometimes like, while
they're in production, like sort of, like after it's been announced that it's happening.
Nah, some of the stuff can be like 6 months before release. So, and some games don't release till like some of these games are apparently.
Yeah, release, but I'm talking about being announced.
Yeah, but some games don't announce till like 3 months before release. Because all these games are probably going to be announced at E3.
Mm.
So they're waiting for them for their announcement, but they want to get all their stock and orders from companies ready because they want to sell. And to sell, you need to have store space and stuff. Because essentially, retail space for console games is still a really big thing. So you want to get your game in there. You want it on the front shelf. You don't want it in the back, whatever. So they make deals with Walmart or whoever.
Okay.
To do all this stuff. It's, to me, a very convoluted thing that it just doesn't need to be, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because, you know, if you get it on, like, the front of the store kind of thing, the mum that doesn't know anything about a game will go buy it for her child. The store clerk will be like, oh, yeah, games are that way.
Well, it's just visual presence.
Yeah.
It's better than...
Of course it is. It doesn't,
like, yeah. It's just the way that it is. You want to be visually present if you're selling a hard copy of something.
That is true. I guess I've just always had a different style because I'd always look up the games that I want to get and then I'd go to the store to get those games.
Yeah, not everyone's like that.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people would possibly walk past the shelf not realizing that game's out and then going, oh, shit, I want to buy it. And if it wasn't on the shelf and it wasn't visible.
I think I've just been lucky because I've had, like, a computer since I was 7. So I could look up stuff.
Well, it's not about
not
being
isn't.
Able to look it up. It's about people like either not being bothered to or not being as interested in it and just kind of seeing it in passing and going, oh, I might play it.
That's true.
Like, not everyone is like constantly checking up on games that are coming out.
I'm not even constantly checking up.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying people.
Oh, yeah, but I'm more just like. Lots of word of mouth in my type of friend group as well.
Yes.
Happens. So, like, it's very rare that something comes out and I don't know about it just because of what I see, what my friends see, so on and so on. But I guess, yeah, it is what it is. They leaked those games. We'll probably see them at E3. Well, we won't personally see them. We'll hear about them at E3.
Could it have been a strategical leak?
If it was, and you never know, like, yeah, like, I don't know how anyone could find out, but I don't think it's not happened that way before. Like, the amount of times games get leaked this way, like, oh, they were on the store for, like, a bit, and it was a glitch, you know, some of them had to be on purpose to, like, get that store some of the sales. I couldn't speculate on it. I'm sure it's happened before, but I don't know. So BioWare are talking about the future in a recent blog post. They want to create worlds of the future with lots of interactivity and choices, which basically is what they say about every game they've ever done. So yeah. I don't know what the future is different.
I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah, basically, like, I almost feel like the choices kind of feel like Telltale games in some of their games. Like, they don't have any meaning. Essentially, like, in Mass Effect 1, I think the biggest choice you have is if you have Ashley or Caden. And that doesn't really change the story.
Yeah.
It changes your romance option with either of them, but at the end of the game...
Because obviously the choice is Caden.
Yeah, the choice was Ashley.
Ashley was annoying.
Caden was annoying. The only good thing about Caden is he was the voice of Karth from Knights of the Old Republic. Anyway, moving on. But that seemed like the biggest choice, and it didn't really matter. It didn't shape the world, and I feel the same. There's a similar choice in number 2, wasn't there? I can't remember who it was through. And number three, because they weren't making another game after until they made Andromeda. But that, do I even count that? I don't know. Number three, like, felt like the endings could have led to some big different paths, because like there was a lot to do in three that like changed how you did stuff, and you could change the Geth, you could eliminate the Geth, or what was
assimilate them.
Tali's race.
I
can't remember. It was... Oh, damn. But you could make, though, if you did all the right things, all the right things through 1 and 2 and 3, you could make the Geth and her people friendly, and they would live on that planet, their homeworld.
Quarian!
You just looked that up, didn't you?
No, I remembered it.
Okay, so she looked it up. Yeah, but you could make them...
As I put my phone away.
Yeah, you could make them peace... Like, that felt like a big decision. But that's, I think, really rare in BioWare games recently.
It felt like a big decision, and then it didn't lead
There's the thing. Oh, my God. It's like, cool, you saved all these people's lives, now they're all dead. You saved all these people's lives, and now you're dead.
Yeah. But the different colors, different color lasers, that's what makes all of the effort worth it.
I don't want to get into it. I just don't.
That's a pretty big difference in ending.
Dragon Age 1 actually felt pretty good. So the ending was always the same, but like the story was to eliminate the Darkspawn.
Mm-hmm.
You just had lots of different ways of doing that. Like, you could recruit different people. So the end fight was basically the four different people you saved. You either saved the werewolves or the elves, the different dwarven people, the wizards or the Templars. Or you could do a mixture of both with the wizards and Templars. I can't remember. And you had the six different starlings.
Yeah, I think I had the wizards and the Templars, which was, like, ironic.
Yeah.
That they fought together. I can just remember going, yeah, I've got
but
these.
But there was
two
the
people.
Six different startings. Well, that game did feel like a big open, like, it was a very linear game, but it felt like I was making a difference in it compared to some of their other games, which really railroading, yeah, the D&D expression. So, Yeah. I didn't like... What was it? Dragon Age 3, is it? 3 or 4? 3?
3.
Yeah, I don't know. The MMO engine that they used for a single-player game. It was unfortunate. 2 was all right.
But I liked them all.
Yeah, but you're easily impressed by BioWare.
No.
I don't know.
That's not true. I liked the Dragon Age series, and I'm sorry that everyone was unhappy with how the last one played out, and but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed going through the world and doing my adventures and whatever.
God damn it, Ken. I don't know. I wish it was more like, even more like 2 would have been nice for 3. And the story actually didn't seem so bad. It just was few and far between moments because of all the vast crap in the game. Which is what I do not want for Fable 4. Like, if they have this big open world that has nothing in it. It doesn't matter how pretty it is. It needs to feel alive. I feel that's what Fable needs. And if it's not like that, it's not a true Fable game.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to have a good leveling up system that changes the appearance of your character, because that was beautiful. I loved being magic and getting all your blue veins.
Yeah, I did. That was cool.
It was. I'm surprised more games haven't done stuff like that, because it's technically not a hard thing to do, like, from a tech perspective, and makes the player feel so much more connected with the character.
And but, like, they've actually grown and
yeah, like, it feels like
developed.
It feels like you are them, but games don't do it. I don't know why.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? Oh, well. Maybe Fable 4 will feature some of that. Maybe it'll be in the Steam summer sale that starts on the June of 21st.
Not far away.
It's not. Am I going to buy anything? I don't know. I feel like I own so much on Steam already. Like, I'm only going to get new games that aren't going to be on special. Because anything that is already on Steam that I want, I have. It's
probably already been on special and you've bought already.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I still haven't played it and it's sitting in my library in my backlog and it's never going to be played and it hasn't even been installed once.
Well, we shall see.
We'll see.
Unless there's like a game that you were like, oh, I want to play that again and I don't have it in my library or something like that.
The only thing I can see myself buying is if it's like a new game that's 10% off and I'm like, eh, all right.
Yeah, maybe.
But even then, I'll probably be like, unless I'm going to play it this week, I'm probably not going to get it. I am looking forward to all the Steam sale memes that always show up around Steam sales.
Prepare your wallet.
Prepare your wallet. There's always strippers with like people throwing cash, but instead of the stripper's face, they got like a logo of Steam.
Yeah.
And it's just people throwing cash at it or throwing their wallets and stuff. Stupid shit like that.
Yep.
Microsoft is opening their PC games and all Xbox One titles to its digital gifting program. So previously, they just had certain selected titles that had DLC offerings and stuff. But now any game that's on Xbox One or Xbox Live PC games, you can gift to people and such.
Cool. I didn't actually know you couldn't do it, but fun.
I mean, do you have anyone on Xbox Live you would gift to?
No.
There you go. The experience in like Xbox Live, Windows Store, whatever it is on PC at the moment would need to be a lot better for me to use it as like my daily driver. Like, I use Steam and GOG at the moment, and that is much better. So, like, I feel like I can just buy a game and gift it to someone and they'll get it and play it. If I did that on Xbox Live, I wouldn't even know if they got the notification, because, like, have they used it in the last 2 years?
I don't know.
Like, what if they never log on and never get my gift?
Well, heaven forbid.
Yeah, it would be so sad.
Well, why are you giving someone a game and not telling them?
Because I want... I've done that sometimes. I have bought, like, especially around Christmas time, so I'll just, like, sneakily buy someone a game on Steam. I'll be like, Merry Christmas, and they'll get it, and they'll be like, oh, thanks, man. What, you've never done that?
No.
Oh, what? It's always fun.
Who are these people?
Not you, apparently.
Yeah. Who are these people that you're randomly giving gifts to?
You know, everyone. Friends.
Okay.
Family. Like, maybe I'll... You know what? Oh, I wasn't surprised, but I bought someone the battle pass for Dota 2.
Like, yeah, it wasn't a surprise. You were on Discord with them and you told them immediately.
I did, only so we wouldn't start the game. That's not the point. The point is Divinity Original Sin 2 is coming to consoles in about a week.
Uh-huh.
We've already played it and finished it, but I think it's good. It, because of the way the turn-based is, I think it should go all right on console. You played it with a controller for one session, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It wasn't too bad. It was... what's the word?
When you're finding a word, it's never good.
No, it was like, it's pretty intuitive, pretty straightforward and easy to control. The issue that I had was like working out all of the buttons for the things that I wanted to do, because I had learnt them all on keyboard and mouse.
So if you started the game with a controller, maybe it would have been better?
Yeah.
Because you would have had less to do anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And you would have gotten like...
I'm not going to bash it.
Yeah. It really wasn't that bad. It was in some ways like a little bit nicer because I'm just naturally in preference of controllers, because all the buttons are like right there ergonomically for you to press. And
unless you got a PlayStation controller.
Yeah. I'm of course talking about Xbox. But yeah, like, because I've always found, I don't know, I have short, stumpy fingers, so I find keyboards, like, kind of difficult to maneuver around. So I quite like controllers.
Yeah, I've got, like, spidery long, thin fingers. I just use a keyboard pretty well.
I don't hit keys very easily on the keyboard, so, yeah, I quite liked it.
All right.
I'd have to get used to it.
I think everyone should play that game. It was really fun. We're not going to spoil anything. Just that it was a good game.
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies. Except they don't.
Except they do.
You'll have to play and find out who's telling the truth.
Or you won't, because they're dead.
Or maybe you'll die. Maybe it's like The Ring, and 7 days after you play it,
you die.
Yeah, someone comes and kills you.
It happened.
We're dead right now.
Yeah.
All right. How do you feel about Souls-like games like Dark Souls and Bloodborne? I tried playing Dark Souls 1. I was so bad at it. I think I like played half an hour. I'm like, I am done forever. And I haven't played it since.
I tried to play it, Dark Souls. But I got too scared.
Of Dark
Souls? Yes.
What? I mean, we're playing Resident Evil right now.
I know, but I'm not playing it.
Yeah, you're not playing it.
Like, and I've watched a lot of playthroughs of Dark Souls as well, so.
Basically like you played it?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. Like, the way that it, the way that you battle and move and stuff, I really liked the idea of playing it. It felt like it would have been very satisfying to play, but I just couldn't do it. So I'd be happy with a Dark Souls-like game that wasn't necessarily in the same vein as Dark Souls.
Like Code Vein?
Oh. Yeah, maybe. That one looked...
Yeah, that was the... So we watched the trailer for it today. It's apparently listed to launch in July for Xbox and PlayStation. No date for PC yet. But it's essentially an anime-style Dark Souls game from what I can see. The bosses and the enemies looked pretty diverse and interesting.
Mm.
The graphics... I'm a bit torn on it because there was definitely some scenes where it looked more anime and then it looked more animation some other scenes. Like...
Mm.
And I'm like, is the anime just cutscene? I couldn't really tell from the trailer, sadly.
Mm.
But we'll find out more. I think it looks good.
I'll probably definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, I do want to play it. As far as these types of games, I'm hoping it's a bit easier as well. As far as these type of games go, I don't know. Do they have a genre, or does everyone just call them a Souls-like game?
I'm pretty sure that's the genre, yeah.
Yes, the genre is Dark Souls. So I will definitely give it a go. I'll probably put the, yeah, we'll put the trailer that I saw in the description. Do I wait for it on PC, though?
Well,
because I'm waiting for Monster Hunter on PC. I waited for Final Fantasy and I still haven't played it.
Never came.
It came, I just haven't played
well,
it.
Well, you know what I mean. I don't know.
Because it's not the type of game, because of anime, like, mm-hmm. It looks good without lots of tech behind it, so I don't think it's the type of game that's going to look heaps better on PC anyway, which is usually why I like to play them.
Yeah.
They're smoother experiences most of the time, except terrible ports, and I hate companies that allow that, like, you care about this product and you just let like it turn into a piece of shit. Well, the person that pays for the port probably doesn't give a shit, they just want money. The developers, that's true. God damn, I hate people that are rich sometimes. Yeah, I think I could probably go it on a console, but like Final Fantasy apparently it does look much better on PC. I gotta give it a go. I might do it next week.
Finally. Okay.
I tell myself that now, but
you could pick it up in the Steam sale.
That's actually not a terrible idea.
Just saying.
I mean, that's more than next week, but I could do that. Let's do that. It's my promise to myself if it's on sale.
It's my gift from me to me.
They're my favorite gifts. I always know what I want. I just know me so well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I think that's all we've got this week. There's just lots of E3 rumors. What? Actually, let's do that. What do you want to see at E3? If any game that you've ever played had a sequel or a prequel or just something to do in the franchise, what would you want to see? Come on now.
Maybe another BioShock.
I think there's been rumors about some BioShock stuff.
Another Fable would be good.
We've talked about that.
I know
already.
We've talked about it, but I'm saying, like, if this rumor is true, another Fable would be good. There's lots of rumors I've been seeing around of, like, well, not rumors, but I guess it's confirmed now. Like the Spyro remakes.
Yeah, that was
remastering.
Confirmed, I'm pretty sure. Would you prefer a new one or a remaster?
I'd prefer a new one. Because the old one to me is classic, like how it is. So remastering it isn't necessarily something I want. Like the graphics are iconic of
that era,
of that game. Like, yeah, that's the style it is. So you change, like you update them, and it doesn't feel like Spyro anymore.
That happens to a lot of games where like they make a new game and it's good, but it's not the same.
Yeah,
I feel the same is going to happen with Beyond Good or Evil 2. There was another game that I saw as well. I was just like, you know, you're making this new game, but it's not going to feel the same. I wonder if it'll happen for Kingdom Hearts 3, actually.
Probably.
Like, there's been a big gap since Kingdom Hearts 2, and it's going to look so different. It's not like Final Fantasy, where they've done it every few years, so it's updated gradually with the game. Like,
yeah.
The graphics were a bit better than the last one. Graphics were a bit better than the last one. It's not this massive jump, so people will remember this one thing. But then they get this new one and it's so different. They're like, this isn't what I was expecting.
No.
So if I could get anything I wanted from an E3, it would have to be Skies of Arcadia of some sort.
Ugh. Let it go.
No, it is amazing. You still haven't finished playing it.
No.
And you're going to.
No. I don't know, maybe.
Nah, it's a thing that's happening. What else? What else would
I'd like another Life is Strange.
That is coming. Stop doing things that have already been announced.
I know, I'm just saying things I like. You asked me.
Okay, something that's not announced.
I'm trying to think. What are things that I like?
Video games.
Yeah. I guess another Dragon Age would be cool.
If they did it right, but
I mean, BioWare. Yeah, all of this is under the proviso that they do it right.
But it's BioWare, and I don't know what's happened to them, but I'm pretty sure everyone who cared about making games has left.
Mm.
I'm not sure, but that's what it feels like. Speaking of Fable 4, actually, another black and white game would be amazing. The tech that I think you could put into a game like that now would be really good. I want the Guild 3 to be finished. I can't think of anything else, though. Oh, well. I think we'll call it there. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Again, if you have the time, please check out our YouTube channel, KestCast. Just search it. You can go to our website, KestCast.com. We post all of our podcasts there each week. We'll post our series, so we put everything into playlists. Thank you again for listening. I'm Kieran. This is Caitlin. Say bye, Caitlin.
Bye, Caitlin.
Don't. All right. Thank you, everybody.